Okay.
Look at your neighbor. Say, get a clue.
Get a clue.
These messages
are for us.
Amen?
Amen.
You know, sometimes we come to church and we come for everybody else but us. And the press is on to declare. Say, my eyes see.
My eyes see.
My ears hear.
My ears hear.
My heart does perceive.
My heart does perceive.
This message
is for me.
Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Early this morning, he mentioned one thing. The sin nature. And I said, oh, come on, Lord, you don't want to talk about the sin nature. That's my, Okay?
It's okay.
But the sin nature is definitely a part of the challenge that we live in. Because if you look around, if you don't see the sin nature using your surroundings, the political system, all of the systems of this earth are under that anointing. Why? Because obviously, the rebellion against God, the rebellion against the Creator. So I said, Lord, what scripture do you want me to, you know, expound on this? And he said, well, if you're going to expound on the sin nature, you better find the solution. Because everybody talks about sin. The Antichrist, this anti-anointing. And they all talk about this as the last days. Well, if I remember correctly, Jesus is coming back for a bride.
Amen.
And that bride is going to be awesome. She's going to be gold. She's going to be of the gold standard.
Amen.
Now, if you and I had a couple of bars of gold, we could buy out a few corners of Chicopee, etc., etc., right?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, you wouldn't have to worry about your air conditioner bill, would you?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because it's the standard that even the world uses. So, I'm going to take you to Romans chapter 8. And I'm going to show you the solution. Partially, the solution. This is not all of it, this is some of it. Verse 13. If you live according to the dictates of the flesh, you will surely die. But if through the power of the Holy Spirit you are habitually putting to death, making extinct, deadening the evil deeds prompted by the body, you shall really and genuinely live forever. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Amen?
Amen? Amen.
For the Spirit which you have now received is not a spirit of slavery to put you once more into bondage to fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption, the Spirit producing sonship in the bliss of which we cry, Abba, Father. Now you say, what are you talking about? Well, if you back up to verse 12, it says, so then, brethren, we are debtors, but not to the flesh. We are not obligated to our natural or carnal nature to live a life ruled by the standards set up by the dictates of the flesh. The dictates of the flesh are really the sin nature that we've inherited from who? Where did we get our body from? Came from?
Our mother and father.
Mom and dad, yeah.
Yep.
And the original mom and dad made a mess. They rejected the Creator. So we have in us rebellion. We have lawlessness. We have a lot of selfishness and jealousy and you name it. And boy, can we teach the others how to live.
That's right. Amen.
Yes?
Yes.
The only problem is, he's trying to get through to us. He's on our case. This is a personal Savior that we have. And, you know, the solution is to get to know the one who came to set us free. So go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. I'm using the Amplified, and I want you to recognize that there's a lot of material in this chapter that may help you so you can study it. So, verse 13 we're going to start with. And not a creature exists that is concealed from his sight. But all things are open and exposed, naked and defenseless, to the eyes of him whom we have to do or give account. Inasmuch then as we have a great high priest who has already ascended and passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession of faith in him. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to understand and sympathize and have fellow feelings with our weaknesses and infirmities and liabilities to the assault of temptations. But one who has been tempted in every respect as we are, yet without sinning. How come he didn't sin? That was my, you know. He came and he lived in an earth suit. Now tell me, even with science today, they would tell you that it's the seed of the man that dictates the nature of the child that's going to be born, correct? Mm-hmm. It's proven. Mm. Now, where did the seed in Mary come from?
Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Hidden little seed coming out of heaven under an anointing from the Father to bring forth another that was like Adam. Yeah. See, the first Adam flubbed it bad. I really think, you know, he fell in love with this woman, and whatever the woman said, he went along with it. Because he loved her so much. And that's just a part of the trick. Do you ever love somebody that you actually worship? Yeah. Think about it. I can tell you that there were seasons in my life where I was bound in a form of worship. I didn't see it as that or understand it as that, but that's what it was. Because whatever this individual would say or do, I would automatically submit because I just didn't want to ruffle her feathers. That's slavery.
Yes.
Okay? Did I understand it as slavery? Absolutely not. Until one day, sitting in the back of the church at Grace Church of Christ, this pastor up front says, "Huh, Kim, it's time to stop being the tail and be the head, because the head wags the tail." And Kim, you need to stop wagging. I did not understand it. I didn't comprehend it. I didn't understand it as servitude. I didn't understand it as slavery, but it was. And it took the Lord a while to let me see myself. Oh, you say, well, I was a peacekeeper. That was my excuse. Mm-hmm. Oh, boy, what a good excuse it is to be a peacekeeper. He also told me that I was worshiping at the wrong altar. I had several altars. He showed me that I had idols, and I refused to believe that I had any idols left because I had gotten rid of quite a few statues. But those were not the ones that were the most important. My idols was, first of all, my wife, because whatever she said or did, if I said yes, I kept the peace. Come on.
Yeah,
that's true.
Come on now. Some of you need to know that that's what husbands do in order to keep harmony, rather than being the head. The head caused a crash. And when the crash came, I was on a survival mode for a long time. Why? Because I didn't know. I had been taught by example that if you have a disagreement with your wife, you take the door, you go for a long walk, you come back half drunk, and you've got all your problems solved because you can just knock yourself out. Giggle. It's the truth. And when my mother survived it, she would get her own pills and a couple of drinks so she could survive the angry husband. Those were my examples. Did I follow the booze? No, I didn't. Did I try the drugs? Yes, I did, because I didn't like the pain in my chest. So it was 20 milligrams of Librium every 4 hours to keep the pain away. All of that to train me to stop being a tail. And I could go on. But I don't want to talk about my weaknesses because I knew they were there. Literally, piece by piece, God began to show me myself. And what I saw, I did not like. And I repented. And I began to cry out to make me a head and not a tail. The more I cried out, the more he changed me, the more she ran. And I'm not blaming my wife now. The one that was running was Jezebel, who had irritated and used the one that I loved. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, your battle is not against flesh and blood.
That's right.
The controlling forces that use people are usually not talked about. I had become a perfect Ahab. I would submit just to keep the peace. So God began a journey for me of recovery. You say, how long did it take? You don't want my example. What you want is to obey the Lord so that you can get rid of whatever forces are using you. Because your battle is not against flesh and blood, Ephesians 6:12. But against principalities and powers in the heavenly places that are using people in the earth. And they think they can do it right on their own. But they can't. You need each other to support each other.
Amen.
Oh, wow. Two amens. Think about it. You need each other to support each other so that you can make it. Because the enemy is serious. He is a killer, he's a stealer, and he's a deceiver.
Amen.
The one who did it right was Jesus. Adam failed, Eve failed, they worshiped at the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and you know what? We're still doing it. It is one tree, it has two natures. It is a spirit of evil and the spirit of good. Everybody thinks it's only one part. It's two. The knowledge of evil is easily discerned, but the knowledge of good comes from the same tree. The knowledge of good, try it on for size. Say, the knowledge of good,
the knowledge of good
is under the demonic tree.
Is under the demonic tree.
I better get with the activity.
I better get with the activity.
Of getting revelation.
Of getting revelation.
Because I'll get stuck.
Because I'll get stuck.
At the wrong tree.
At
at the wrong tree.
Amen. The tree of life is Jesus. He came down the highway, right? And he did not fail. He has the ability to stand in the gap for you. How many saw a weakness, at least one weakness in this past week? Put your hand up. Just one. Good, just one. You know, and we all have them. And the moment that you do and you get upset with yourself, you start judging yourself.
Amen.
Oh. Well, that's another scripture he gave me this week. In James chapter 2, the final verse says, judgment is overruled by mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Oh. And he said, it's about time that you look at what you're doing right now. You're judging yourself, and my son already paid for your failure. So what are you doing, picking on yourself? You're about to nosedive emotionally. None of you guys ever done that. Yeah, I'm talking to each and every one of us. And those of you who are listening, I pray you get a good clue as to who you worship. You see, the first one was my wife. Then the Lord said, how about the others? And so I didn't know who he meant. So I played dumb. Did you ever play dumb with the Lord? Because you know you're guilty? I didn't know I was guilty to this degree. But he began to show me my actions. And he said to me, well, if attorney so-and-so walks through the room, what are you going to do? Oh, he says, do you see yourself standing and greeting him? He says, yeah, I do. That's, you know, respect. No. He says, some of it is worship. He says, there are some attorneys that are dirty from beginning to end and clueless about God. And you are greater because of your knowledge of me. And the one that is resident in you, Kim, is greater than that. And he didn't give SOB, but that's, there are some that are not out there to do things that are right.
That's right.
And you're worshiping at the wrong altar. Mm-hmm. Judge so-and-so walks into the room. Everybody what?
Stands.
Ah. You should be worshiping a judge. There's some judges that are worse than the attorneys that they work with.
That's right.
And I'm not trying to pick on anybody. I'm just trying to show you what we do. Because we think we know. The knowledge of good is demonic. Revelation from God will show you which ones you can respect. He showed me some of the religious realm and how I would respond with different titles and different individuals. And you know what? I was guilty. It was wrong. But I didn't think it was wrong because I believed the lies that I had been brought up with. So I had to really do some vacuuming of a lot of manure that I had believed. He said, you still see yourself as nothing, and I am in you, and you are more than they in many cases. Oh, so when you judge and find fault with yourself, what are you doing? You're erasing my work on the cross. Oh. That woke me up. He said, next time someone walks through the door, he said, I don't want you to disrespect. You can respect the office, but watch out who you bow to. Gee, it got awful quiet in here. Close your eyes right now. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I know you're alive in me.
I know that you're alive in me.
Your nature.
Your nature.
Is working in me.
Is working in me.
To transform me.
To transform me.
About how I judge myself.
About how I judge myself.
And I find fault with myself,
and how I find fault with myself.
Instead of giving myself mercy. Because mercy triumphs.
Over judgment.
I'm also aware that grace is sufficient.
To take me through.
The Son of God is my high priest.
He has passed through the heavens.
And he has taken everything of sin. And wiped it out of me. So I'm working from victory. Instead of complaining about my weaknesses. I give you praise, Father. As I continue to walk. In freedom. And to listen to your Holy Ghost, like it says, loud and clear.
In Romans chapter 8.
If I live according to the dictates of the flesh, I will surely die. But if through the power of the Holy Spirit, I habitually put to death all the evil deeds prompted by the body, I shall really live forever. For all who live and are led by the Spirit of God are sons and daughters of God. Hallelujah. I am a son. I am a daughter of the Most High God. And I give you praise for all that you've done in me. And you're not done. You've made me a head and not a tail.
Hallelujah.
Because of the blood.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, that's what I said. Amen.